Melbourne AA Steps Weekend 2008. This is Gina talking about Step 2.
Good morning, everyone. My name's Gina and I'm an alcoholic. And my home group's Life's in Session, and it's fantastic to be here this morning, and I've heard some really, really good stuff. I've come off an exceptionally difficult week, and always marvel at the higher power's plans for me to actually be here this morning to share. It's something that I normally wouldn't come to. My husband and I have four children, and Saturday mornings and Saturdays are pretty busy in our household, so I'm very pleased to get out of bed this morning and leave everyone behind and come here. And, I've heard what I've really needed to hear and to be reminded of. And, it's great. I love the way that Alcoholics Anonymous works. And, sharing on step two, I was offended when I first read that step. I definitely didn't think I was insane. I didn't think I was powerless over alcohol. I didn't think my life was unmanageable. In fact, I didn't even think I belonged in Alcoholics Anonymous. I arrived through the doors when I was 19, and I had a lot of doubts about whether I just had a little bit of a drinking problem or if I really was an alcoholic. And, that took me some time to work out, and just like people have shared, just sitting in meetings and listening to people talk. And, I stayed for a month, I drank for a month, and then I came back, and I've been sober since then. But, hearing people talk about their own stories and where they went and what they did, and those meetings after the meetings, and there was lots of listening on my behalf, and it was a real struggle for me. And I identify in the doctor's opinion in the big book with the cycle of alcoholism, and if I apply that to my drinking, it describes me to a T. There's nothing extra to add. And I certainly can see, I came to a point where I did accept that I was powerless over that physical allergy that I have to alcohol, that manifestation of a craving once I put alcohol into my system, and the mental obsession that goes with that, and the unmanageability. I didn't lose a marriage, I didn't smash a car, no one would have married me. I never got a license, and I would have, I didn't go to jail, but I probably should have, and so there were all these things that I didn't do, and therefore I didn't think my life was unmanageable. But I've come to actually see that the unmanageability that I identify with is in my mind. I'm powerless over that strange mental blank thought that occurs before I pick up a drink. That tells me it's okay to pick up a drink when, based on my drinking experience, it's not, I've heard a couple of great definitions of insanity, and that really helped me too, because, insanity, I just thought of people in mental asylums, off the wall, not being able to communicate with them. That's what I thought of insanity. And then people started talking about, in relation to alcoholism, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. And one thing that's written in my big book is that the inability to see the truth about my drinking, and that fits me perfectly, is that I just had no inability to see the truth about that, when that strange mental blank spot occurred, and it occurred pretty regularly without my knowledge, it was just happening. I was drinking, and drinking, the manifestation of the allergy. I was drunk, I was on a spree. I emerged from that remorseful, saying that I'd never do that again, or I'd only drink bourbon or just have wine or whatever it was, and try and live life sober, not drinking, and, in that restless, irritable and discontentedness of not having a drink in my system. I could not stand myself. And, that thought that just kicks in and off I go again, and I really identify with that today, and I have done so for many years. And the doctor's opinion and Bill's story, which is pretty much what was explained to me, it's like a case study. I identify with that. When I first read Bill's story, I thought, oh, he's a bit old, And as I actually studied the book and started to go to big book studies and went through it with my sponsor, I started to gain some identification and some understanding about that, and the next three chapters, as I understand it, is devoted to step two, that there is a solution. More about alcoholism, and we are given this information, then I'm pretty much doomed, in step one, in Bill's story. But in step two, I'm being told that there is a solution, and that solution is spiritual help, and I didn't like that idea either. I thought I was running my life okay, and I've ended up in Alcoholics Anonymous. And really, the state of being that I was in when I got here was that I either wanted to be dead. I so desperately did not want to be me anymore. And, I would have been happy if I died. I used to just wake up and wish that I had died in my sleep. or I would have been happy to unzip myself and get into someone else's body. I was just could not stand who I'd become, you know. So I wasn't really in a very good state of mind when I got here. And, you know, being offered this spiritual help, and I love, you know, the arrogance of me, the alcoholic, thinking, what do I really need? You know? And just in there is a solution, how, you know, the first 100 men and women start to talk about how the problem of the alcoholic centres in the mind rather than the body, you know, and they really, really talk about that in an amazing way, about how, you know, the mental state that precedes the first drink, you know, and I identify with that, you know, and many a time in my drinking, you know, I'd sworn off and said I wasn't going to drink, and then all of a sudden there I was on my fifth drink, getting drunk, just going, yeah, how did that happen? You know, it wasn't a lot of conscious thought. It was just, oh, well, I'm, you know, I'll just keep on going. But it wasn't until I came to AA I started to see that many, many times in my drinking, you know, that I had made that firm resolve, you know, but then something happened. Something happened in my mind. I didn't have any alcohol in my system. It was my mind. My mind said that I could just pick up that drink. Now, it doesn't matter. It'll be right. I'll just have two. It won't be as bad as last time. I'm only drinking wine this time. Whatever the excuse was, that strange mental blank spot would occur. And I couldn't even recall what it was like to be drunk, what it was like to be remorseful, you know, 2 days ago. Or, you know, tearing myself apart about the, you know, the terrible thing that I'd just done, the shame that I had felt. I couldn't even recall that in that moment. You know, and that's really scary when I understand the full impact of alcoholism in my life, you know, and that's went on continuously in my drinking time, you know, and it talks a little bit about, or it talks a lot, in there is a solution about how my, you know, the whole purpose, or it doesn't actually say this in there as a solution, but the whole purpose of the book of Alcoholics Anonymous is to give me a relationship with a power greater than myself that's going to solve my problem. And what is my problem? Those strange mental blank spots, you know, and my understanding is that when I work the steps through, I will have a relationship with my power, with a power greater than myself, whatever I conceive that to be, that will stand between my thinking, God, and a drink. You know, that's what I've been given here in very, very simple terms, you know, and you know, I didn't, as I said, I didn't really like the idea of spiritual help because really I didn't think there was much wrong with me, you know. Maybe I could just go out and drink for another 20 years and come back when I was 40, you know, that's how I felt. But I was desperate. I was given the gift of desperation, you know. I wanted to die, and that was enough to keep me here, even though I doubted a lot of things. And, you know, I remember hearing an old-timer in those early days saying, talking about step two and saying, that it says came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. It doesn't say came to believe in a power greater than ourselves that could restore us to sanity. And that was a big difference for me, that I didn't have to have any beliefs around God, that I didn't have to have this fantastic relationship with him or all the answers about what that was going to look like. All I had to do was believe that if I took what was involved in the rest of the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, that I would be restored to sanity. That's all I had to believe in, that a power greater than me would do that for me, you know. And that initially was AA, you know, the meetings I went to and some of the people, you know, about taking that step. And, you know, just in case I'm not convinced, which I wasn't, about alcoholism, there's a chapter about more about alcoholism. You know, straight after there is a solution, just to make sure I am entirely convinced of the way that alcoholism works in my life. And there's two examples in there. I think it's of two men. I think it's Jim and Fred. I can never remember their names, but I think that's who it is. And, you know, they write about how Jim had stopped drinking and was on a real low. And, you know, and he writes these examples about those strange mental blank spots. He was on a real low. And then I think Fred, it could be the other way around, you have to read the big book. Fred was on a real high, just come off a great business deal, was feeling fantastic about his life. Strange mental blank spot occurred and he got drunk again. So, you know, the real point that I see in more about alcoholism is it doesn't matter how I'm travelling, good or bad, it's there. You know, and if I don't have a mental defence against that, I am in big trouble. You know, I'm going to drink again, you know. And then it goes on to We Agnostics. And I thought that We Agnostics, I didn't have, you know, didn't have to read that. I wasn't agnostic. I sort of believed in God, you know. And an old-timer actually suggested that I do that, you know, that I actually start reading that chapter. And oh, my God, it's my favourite chapter in the big book. It's brilliant. You know, it just has these amazing conceptions in there that can start me off, you know, and in there too, I'm not very good at quoting the big book verbatim, but, you know, in there it talks about all we're doing here in Alcoholics Anonymous is we're not defining your idea of God. All we're saying is that you need a power greater than yourself, you know, and it says that in there, that, you know, that I need a power greater than myself to solve my problem, and if I've got that understanding of what my problem is, then, you know, like the last speaker said, I'm going to accept spiritual help. You know, I'm not going to make that choice and go out and drink again, because I have the truth about what's going on, you know. And you know, then of course step three is about making that decision and carrying that out through the rest of the 12 steps, you know. And you know, I've had some pretty amazing experiences, you know. Just was thinking along the lines of I didn't really have a relationship with a God when I got here, and that has happened as I've gone through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, the first time around. And it's not really until I get to step 11 that it talks about improving my conscious contact anyway, you know. And in relation to that sanity, you know, if reading step 10 in the big book, you know, once I get there, I am given sanity in relation to alcohol. It may not be anything else in my life, which, you know, I've experienced many different forms of insanity and sobriety, I can tell you. But in relation to alcohol, it talks about that, you know, if we are tempted, we recoil from it as a hot flame. I never had that in my drinking. As I said, I just, you know, I just drank and didn't think about it, you know. And I, you know, that's the miracle for me, you know, is that me now, between my thinking, there's God before the drink. And I had a great example of that last year. I played basketball, and we just finished a game. It was one of those 40-degree nights, and it was, I don't know, about late game, 9:30 at night, and it was our last game for the year, and we were all dripping with sweat, and the girls all wanted to go to the pub to celebrate, you know, that we've, you know, year of basketball. And normally I'd be in on that. I don't mind going to the pub. They're great girls. But I just knew I was really, really thirsty. I just thought, you know, that's not a good place for me to be at 9:30 at night, dripping with sweat, you know, really, really thirsty, watching those girls drink beers. That would be a temptation. And just automatically, I didn't, you know, that was just the thought. And then I just said, God, please give me the right words to say no and get out of here. And that's what I did. I followed through with that. And I didn't even think about that until later. You know, that's the defence. That's the, you know, the sanity in relation to my alcohol. You know, it's that provided I do certain things for my sobriety, you know, work the steps and be of service and try and work with others, that stays with me. You know, that's with me. And you know, it comes from, you know, comes from outside of myself. That wasn't my thinking. If I rely on my own thinking, I'm gone, you know. And you know, the first three steps, I you know, there's a lot of information involved in that, but for me, in the way that I was sponsored, there wasn't a lot of agonizing. I wasn't given a lot of time to think about too much stuff, you know. I was just encouraged to just move on to the next step, you know. And that terrified me to do that, you know. And what I've learnt in Alcoholics Anonymous and continue to learn year after year is that I cannot think my way out of anything. You know, it just doesn't work for me. You know, my thinking in relation to alcoholism just can't be trusted, you know. What Alcoholics Anonymous has given me is the program of living where I actually act my way into good thinking. You know, so I take those actions first. I get that information in steps 1, 2, and 3. Then I start taking the actions, whether I believe or not in, you know, in a God. You know, I believe that Alcoholics Anonymous would restore me to sanity, and that was enough. You know, the last speaker spoke about that too, you know, that is enough for me to make that beginning and get on with the steps, you know. And and it's a pretty amazing journey, you know, once I start doing that and, you know, what's involved in that process. So, you know, I don't know how much time is left, but bye-bye. God, bloody, as usual, knocked it all out in about 5 minutes. Yeah, you know, so if you're new here today and, you know, thinking about doing the steps, don't think for too long, you know. That could kill you, and I'm serious. You know, it could take you back out the door. Get yourself a sponsor, get a home group, and a sponsor that knows about the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, that experienced the 12 steps as it's laid out in the first 164 pages, you know. And even though you don't believe, you know, I'm sure there's plenty of people here that could raise their hand and say they didn't believe as they started to go through that process of the program of AA, you know, that, you know, as you start to go through it, it's pretty amazing what unfolds. And you know, like someone else said, where my life has been taken to, you know. And if I would have had it my own way when I got here, I'm not 40 yet, I'd still be drinking, you know. I don't know if I'd still be alive. You know, that was my plan when I got here. And, you know, I'm really glad those old timers gave me a lot of time, took me to a lot of meetings, had a lot of coffees with me, listened to a lot of my dribble, but then got me to take some action, you know, that, you know, I didn't have to be entirely convinced that the rest of the program was going to work for me. In fact, I was a doubter, you know. I just thought, how's all this going to help, you know. And and I stayed sober as a result of that, you know. And you know, that's definitely the miracle in my life, you know. And the privilege too is that I now get to share that with other women, you know. That's pretty much one of the highlights, as well as my children and my family, is that being able to go through the book with someone else. And I guarantee you, don't read the big book once, because every time you read it, there's something new in it. 17 years down the track, I was there last night going, oh, that's great, you know. Just it's an amazing book, and, you know, divinely inspired. And you know, I was told to, was given that analogy, which I'm sure many people have heard, that, you know, the first 100 men and women wrote that book because they wanted a way to carry AA's message, you know. They didn't have internet and email and all that kind of thing when AA first started, and they were desperate for money. So they wrote this book, and you know, it has terms in the book about precisely, you know, following what they did precisely to get what they got, the result that the first 100 men and women got. And, you know, it was put to me that if you're baking a cake and you've got a recipe in front of you and it says a cup of flour and a cup of sugar, you know, are you going to put in a quarter of a cup of flour and a little bit of sugar, you know, no eggs, not follow the recipe? Because if you do, you're not going to get the cake that the recipe, you know, implies that you will get if you follow the instructions. And that's exactly what was told to me, is that, you know, if I just take a little bit of the program, interpret it my own way and not do what is suggested, I'll have a result. Don't know what kind of result it is, but I won't have the result of the first 100 men and women, you know. And you know, if you read that book, it's a pretty powerful result, you know, that for, you know, the past 17 years I've been able to live life sober, you know, for a hopeless drunk like me that could not stop drinking, you know, that finding myself at the bar or wherever it was on my way to getting drunk again, and just having that, you know, it wasn't a big thought, it was just like, how did that happen? You know, for someone like me that could not stop drinking on my own accord, I found a solution, you know, and it's spiritual. And spiritual for me wasn't anything, you know, it was all a bit, you know, the language was all a bit overwhelming. And, you know, an old timer again explained to me, Gina, just to keep it simple, spiritual things are things that you can't touch. You know, they're not material. And that was another really good thing for me to start with, you know, that I didn't have to have this educated, informed view of what spiritual was. You know, I just needed to understand that's where my solution, you know, was, in the spiritual, of things that, you know, that I couldn't actually touch, you know. And that was the rest of the 12 steps, you know. And I'm really grateful to be sober and to have the life that, you know, that I have today. And someone else said, you know, I wouldn't swap my worst day drunk for my whatever it is. I don't even know what it was, but I went, yeah. And I really have. I've had a really difficult week, and I've felt extreme anger, and I've just been up and down and all over the place. And I'm really grateful for the sponsorship that I received. My sponsor's been in my life for a long, long time. And, you know, I've hardly been able to pray. I've just been able to say, hi, God. I don't know what to say, you know. And and that's okay too, you know. And here I am at the end of a pretty heavy week, and it's, you know, probably not ended, but in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, that will keep me going and you know, show me the next directed step. So thanks for letting me share today.
Information about the annual Melbourne AA Steps Weekend is available from www.stepsweekend.aagroup.org.au. Thanks for letting me share.